Cincinnati's mayor and police chief agree violent crime is bad in the city this summer. Could community volunteers help by responding to lower-level offenses, freeing up police officers to address violence? Some city leaders say yes, but Cincinnati's FOP president has some concerns. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about this are FOP Queen City Lodge number 69 president, Ken Kober. Welcome back, Officer Kober.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Kettering Health Network and Sinclair College retired police chief, Tom Thompson. Thanks for being here, Chief Thompson.
Thank you, Lucy.
Officer Kober, explain what an alternative response program is and how long Cincinnati has had one.
So Cincinnati really has developed two similar programs. One, the Alternative Response to Crisis, has been around since about 2021. And that program is comprised of a firefighter or paramedic, as well as a mental health professional that will respond to folks that are experiencing homelessness, nonviolent mental episodes, things like that, which has proven to be a huge help in policing.
Yeah. Chief Thompson, how are some of the ways these programs can be helpful in your view in terms of what you've seen?
Oh, I think they can be very helpful. I think, you know, sometimes what they provide is somebody that has expertise in the area that the individual needs help in, like community resource navigation, maybe some special skills in mental health, maybe the ability to follow up more long-term on what the crisis is. And I think they also serve the police well because they create a space where the police can spend more time investigating more serious crimes or even spend more time building positive relationships in the community.
And Officer Kober, you mentioned Cincinnati has a couple of different approaches to this. How has this ARC program that you just referred to with the paramedics, with the mental health professionals, how has that worked in your view in Cincinnati?
It's proven to be a very, very useful tool when you have people that are trained, people that are professionals that have that expertise. It has proven to be very effective.
Mm-hmm. And you, it sounds like, if I understand correctly, you became concerned that this program or one of these programs had kind of crossed a line with this newer community responders model. Talk about what that is and why you have concerns about it.
So in 2024, when we negotiated our contract, ARC was still in its infancy. And we actually negotiated with the city to allow them to do these things. That way it doesn't infringe on our collective bargaining rights. shortly after we ratified our contract, the city announced that they were going to create this community responder program. And the timing was certainly suspect because if you wanted that program, the time to do that would be to negotiate with the FOP as we were negotiating our contract. And the very big difference between the two are ARC has trained professionals that are dealt with dealing with these things. These community responders have very, very little training that aren't equipped to handle these things. They can take no enforcement action. In fact, it's already proven in several instances to be a problem.
So these community responders, you're saying they're basically kind of citizen volunteers? I mean, is that what that group is?
No, they're paid. They're okay. Paid city employees that unfortunately were this program, in my opinion, was just haphazardly put together. With no real direction as to what they were going to do. And you know, before they instituted this program, the FOP sent a letter to the city of Cincinnati and said, if you're going to do this, you have to negotiate it with us because we have a collective bargaining agreement. And unfortunately, that's something that the city just said, well, we don't care, we're going to do it anyway, which is why we're in the battle that we are.
Hmm. Chief Thompson, what do you think about those concerns? I mean, can some of these incidents that these community responders go to without an officer present or without a firefighter or paramedic present, can, even if they're lower level offenses, can they become violent?
Well, all I can tell you is based on my experiences. First of all, I totally understand where the officer is coming from. When I first heard about these community responder programs a couple years ago, I was very concerned, you know, thinking that we're going to have people that aren't police officers out taking lower level crisis calls. They're not going to be going to shootings, obviously, or fights, but lower level calls that sometimes can turn bad. And I was very concerned. But as I started talking to community responder programs and police departments at various cities around the country. Some cities that have community responder programs, I think there might be close to 90 now. Some are much bigger cities than Cincinnati. Some are much smaller than Cincinnati. Some are similar size in Cincinnati. But as I started talking to responders and started talking to the police, not once was I hearing about a responder getting hurt or anybody else getting hurt because of a responder's actions. As a matter of fact, community responders around the country answer about 250,000 calls a year, and yet has there been one that has been injured or hurt, and they've actually proved to be quite profitable to the different jurisdictions. Now, Cincinnati's is very new. You know, I think it just rolled out in 2025 or late 2024. And obviously with any new programs, whether it's within inside the a police department or if it's inside a business or inside a school, you name it, you know, there's always adjustments that need to be made. But all in all, I shared his same fears, but the data time and time again has just not backed that up.
We're talking about alternative response programs and community responder yes. programs and what they can mean for policing. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Officer Kober, I want to get your thoughts on that because I know you wrote a commentary piece on this, and it sounds like there have been some situations with community responders that have happened that you found worrisome.
Sure, and thankfully nothing has come of that, thankfully. But there have been instances where we've actually had citizens that call and complain, allowing someone who was visibly intoxicated to drive away from a crash scene. And understand these community responders, their purpose isn't the way it's designed currently is not helping the Cincinnati police, because what they do is a community responder shows up, they look and they see that two cars have crashed, and they tell them to go to the local district to file a police report. Now, I was in Phoenix in February. They have a rather extensive program. I think they call them police assistants. Talk to some of the officers out there, and they absolutely love it. But these are folks that go out and actually take like low-level criminal offense reports. If you have your car gets broken into, things like that. They do those things, which is very, very beneficial to police officers to be able to focus on other things. But that's not what's happening here in Cincinnati. In fact, we just had the other day, a community responder was dispatched to an auto accident in the Winton Terrace neighborhood, and they just flat out refused to go. We said, no, the neighborhood's dangerous. I'm not going. They used to take auto accidents on the highway, and they complained so much to supervision that it's dangerous because it is dangerous on the highway. So they said, well, you don't have to do that anymore either. So there just hasn't been a very clear direction, and that's obviously a result of the leadership and not giving them direction on the things that they need to be doing.
So what are they doing?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I guess they just show up when they feel like it. I know they wanted them to respond to some trespassing runs. On July 4th, we had an officer respond to a trespass run and was shot at a point-blank range. So that's certainly concerning that they're going on some of these runs. While thankfully no one has gotten hurt yet, my fear is that they are going to be in a position that they could get injured. So I guess we'll see how all this shakes out.
It sounds like, if I'm understanding your position correctly, that some incidents that start out looking like lower level offenses, I mean, even a car wreck, you don't know who has a gun in the glove box, that maybe some of those things can, this trespassing situation that you're talking about, that those can become pretty dangerous pretty quickly, and you can't tell beforehand. Is that part of what your logic is with this?
Well, absolutely. And understand, I'm not against the community responders, the program in at least theory. And actually, we spent 16 hours as part of this legal process trying to figure out how we could both operate in the same space. And it basically just came down to the city was absolutely being unreasonable in the things that we were proposing. The reality of this job is dangerous, and there are opportunities for these community responders to be involved. But I believe the city had it backwards. They wanted these responders to basically respond on nearly every 911 call for service. And as we do know, that things can go very, very bad very, very quickly. So my suggestion was have the police respond, you know, especially not knowing what type of run it is. And if they get there and they go, look, this is a better, you know, better situation for community responders, then they can call them. They can come and take care of that run. Unfortunately, that wasn't something we were able to get worked out.
Chief Thompson, do you think there is training or that there are particular types of runs or calls that are better suited for these community responders? I mean, I'm sure in your experience, you're a retired police chief now, but I'm sure in your experience, you had situations that didn't look like they were going to be violent, that turned violent or dangerous. Where do you think these community responder programs work best?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'm going to go back and just say, in about 250,000 calls a year, no responders yet reported an injury or been killed. So there are dangers out there, but we also have social workers going into people's homes, people going to people's homes to turn their power off or utilities. There's a variety of things that civilians are already doing that are in the public that could be dangerous. So I will say that across the country, different cities use these differently. You know, they answer calls, community responders, like nuisance complaints, well-being checks, panhandling, mental subjects. It really depends on the community and what the community wants. And I think this is what it really comes down to is, you know, as a public servant, and I'm retired from a city as well, I know that the best interest of the community and the best interest of public safety for that community and their desires is paramount. And each community is unique. And Cincinnati has is unique in itself. And so really, that community responder program and how they decide to use it would be something that Cincinnati would want to address. And I think that as far as what we're missing here on this call is we're missing somebody from the community responder program to speak up for what training they do have, because they do go through training, and what kind of calls they are taking, because I think they've taken about 1,000 calls already this year. And so I think we're missing that element. But I'll say that there's always an opportunity to see things that aren't going the way that we think that they should, and then get to the table and discuss them and say, hey, how do we better approach this? So, for example, if an officer uses excessive force, we don't shut the police department down. We address it with the officer and maybe address it with our policies or procedures. So the same thing here. It's a brand new program. Usually brand new programs take a little while to work the kinks out. And it's a fantastic opportunity for the police department and the city and the civilians that are working in the program to be able to make sure that they get it right to the best of the city of Cincinnati citizens.
We will continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we'll discuss the primary care provider shortage, the reasons behind it, and possible solutions. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about alternative response programs and community responders, how they can help with policing, and why some police officers have concerns. My guests are FOP Queen City Lodge No. 69 President Ken Kober and Kettering Health Network and Sinclair College retired police chief Tom Thompson. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have a caller on the line. Hey, Juanita, thanks so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
Hi, Lucy. I just have two questions, one for the young man from the FOP and the other for the retired young. It seems to me, in the way that he's speaking, it seems to be like a contract issue. And I guess my question to him is, besides what he wants the city to do, sit down with the FOP about, has the FOP ever considered sitting down with inner city communities and asking leaders and people what they wanted? And then for the retired gentleman, I would like for him to comment on what was the thing other cities have done, and that they haven't lost any people going out there responding. That's one step that they take. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. The audio was a little bit tough, but there are two questions, as I understand. She wants to know from you, Officer Kober, if the FOP has talked with community members about what they'd like to see with this program, how the community feels about it. Is that something that's been part of your process with this?
Yeah, ironically enough, I've had several calls from community members that were concerned about some of these same things. And then when you have people in the community that are being affected by community responders showing up, that's where a lot of this problem has come in. And I think the other part of that is, she said, it sounds like it's a contract issue. And that's absolutely what it comes down to. You know, we have a collective bargaining agreement that the city and the FOP must abide by. And in that case, the state of Ohio has ruled that it's likely that the city is violating state law, which is why we're in the situation we're in.
Mm-hmm. And Chief Thompson, the question for you was, what do you have any idea what other cities have done to ensure that they haven't lost any civilian responders, that nobody's gotten hurt? You made that mention a couple times that there have been many, many responses and no one's been killed in that job. So I don't know if you have thoughts on what they've done to avoid
that. Yes. Screening calls and dispatch, which isn't perfect, followed up by training and crisis intervention and de-escalation and resource connections and police ride-alongs, other things that the Cincinnati community responders get, and then followed up by having access to the police through equipment. And they're also equipped with police radios. So if they recognize something's dangerous, they have the opportunity to back out and call police. And I would just like to, if you don't mind, address her concern on the community input. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So these programs started shortly after the tragic death of George Floyd, and they were driven mostly by community. So I guess it depends on what community member is calling and complaining about these programs, because in my experience across the country, and I'll say namely Dayton, Ohio, which is where I'm originally from, it came out of community concerns saying, we do not need a uniform police officer at every call. It's actually making it worse than it is better sometimes. And the police and other city workers in the Dayton, Ohio area and other areas, sometimes it's tough for a little bit to chew on that. But they were able to, you know, humble themselves and say, you know what, we might not always get it right. Let's work together with our community responders and let's find something that's best for the community and to be able to meet their needs and still be able to be safe. And that's what so many of these organizations have done, is they've worked together in order to make the experience better for the community members and also maintain public safety.
Officer Kober, is that what the ARC program was designed for that we talked about earlier, this alternative response to crisis? Is that what ARC stands for?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And that was, like I said, designed for professionals that are trained in not only mental health, but also in the medical field, being firefighter paramedics, for them to go and recognize that, hey, this person's experiencing homelessness. Let's get them connected to, you know, some resources, or if they're having some kind of medical issue, then they can then call for the fire department and the police aren't involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think Chief Thompson has a point here that maybe community responders could be another layer to that, another kind of tool in the toolbox, if that's something that the community wants or parts of the community want?
Oh, without a doubt. I've made it clear to the city from the beginning that there is space for us to coexist where we can work together. Unfortunately, at this point, that communication piece between the city and the FOP is absolutely broken down, which is why we find ourselves in the situation that we are.
And it's, you know, I want to mention, Chief Thompson mentioned this, we don't have a city representative on. I mean, obviously you work for the city as a police officer, but we don't have someone from the city administration on to kind of give their perspective. Officer Kober, I started out talking about how violent crime is a problem in Cincinnati this summer. There's been a lot of talk about crime involving juveniles and how much of a problem that is. My impression is that people who are big fans of these programs think that this could, like Chief Thompson said, maybe help address some of these other problems so the police can really focus on the violent crime. You've talked about, hey, there's space for that. It's a matter of negotiation. Are there other ways that you would like to see this uptick with violent crime addressed in the city?
Well, yeah, first and foremost, and the city's doing this now, is hiring more officers. We've been short for years. This is a problem that other city leaders from 10 years ago created by just not hiring officers when they needed to. So now, unfortunately, this administration is stuck with having to figure this out. And they have done. They've done a remarkable job, you know, investing in the police department. Like I said, we just had a class of 58 officers that started on Monday. We're going to have a lateral class of 30 experienced officers that are going to start the beginning of 2026. So all of those things help. But the bottom line is what we're seeing in Hamilton County is the court system. You have judges, whether it's a juvenile court judge, municipal, common pleas judges, that are not locking people up when they need to be. And they're giving very, very low bonds as part of this cashless bail system that's doing nothing but endangering the community. And what we're seeing are the people that are committing these violent crimes, they are repeat offenders. It's not like it's their first time. And that's what's most alarming about the crime that's going on in Hamilton County and Cincinnati.
Chief Thompson, you know, you've talked about how many other cities have community responder programs or are trying to start them up. I mean, I've seen that others are trying to start them up. What do you think is working best with these programs nationwide? And are there things that just aren't working well with these programs nationwide?
I think the most important thing is at the onset to be able to have communication at the table where the communities involved, because ultimately what they want is the most important. I mean, we're all public servants. We serve the community. I think the police, the city, the fire, there's the homeless shelters, you know, other nonprofits. I think to have everybody at the table in on their design has proven to be very effective. And then I think the willing to, once you have the program out there, make adjustments as needed, because any plan we make always needs review and to make adjustments. And I think, you know, individuals working together, individuals being willing to do what's best for the public and be willing to make the adjustments they needed to for the public welfare, I think is what works around the country.
I see you nodding in agreement with a lot of that, Officer Cole.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, communication is key, you know, and having everybody at, you know, with a seat at the table to be able to discuss what will work, what won't work. And like I said, unfortunately, that's not what has occurred in this case, which has forced not only the FOP, but also the International Firefighters Union in Cincinnati to file these unfair labor practices, because fire didn't have a seat at the table, the police haven't had a seat at the table, or the FOP hasn't, which is, like I said, that's why we're here, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's just there is no communication.
Well, Officer Kober, you know, you've talked about what's this complaint that was filed with the state. Ohio's State Employee Relations Board found probable cause that the city violated state law when it established this community responder program. What happens next? Does this mean the city and the FOP negotiate some kind of new agreement? Is there a trial? What's next in this whole process?
So we do have a pretrial next month scheduled, and then ultimately the Ohio Attorney General's office along with the attorneys from the FOP and IAFF, we'll have a trial in front of an administrative law judge. And then ultimately that judge is the one that's going to make the decision as to, you know, whether or not the FOP and IAFF were right or whether the city was right, and then what the consequences are. And ultimately, all I'm seeking is to have the city be forced to negotiate this, because they haven't done that. And that's ultimately what comes from this. That way we can come to a mutual agreement of how this can work and how we can all work together.
Well, I've been talking with FOP Queen City Lodge number 69, President Ken Kober, and Kettering Health Network and Sinclair College retired police chief Tom Thompson. Thank you both so much for your time today and for this important conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we'll talk about the primary care provider shortage, the reasons behind it, and possible solutions. This is Cincinnati Edition.